This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
So once upon a time, the British Empire spanned the globe, and no place was more happily British than Nairobi, Kenya. Kenya today is another world away from the high British Empire in the 21st century, and I learned from Ronan Wordsworth of Geopolitical Futures, who arrived in Kenya some days after the African Climate Summit, that Kenya is not part of the Global South condemning, accusing, and in general chastising the Global North for its misconduct of the 19th and 20th century. Kenya has another vision. But first, what are the problems? Ronan, a very good evening to you. This is fortuitous because the King and Queen of Great Britain, beginning their tour of the Commonwealth, begin in Nairobi, Kenya, all to the good of establishing the facts of colonialism, which was brutal and unconscionable and is no longer acceptable conversation. That was then. This is now. And the new president, Mr. Ruto, and his wife, Rachel Ruto, greeted the King and Queen warmly. First, what are the problems? The big problem is China. How so, Ronan? What is China's part in Kenya's troubles? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and thanks very much, John. Yes, so first of all, I'd say Kenya's main problem at the moment is their debt. They've got a huge debt load, as same as a few African countries, and a lot of this debt has been built up over years of maybe bad management, mispractice, and the current president has inherited this debt and was very critical of his predecessor, Uhuru Kenyatta, for his dealings with the Chinese, in which he basically said that Kenyatta had accumulated a lot of debt to the Chinese and not got sufficient results on the back of that. And this was all under the BRI. So they have probably, I think it's around now $6 billion outstanding debt to China, which is their largest bilateral debt to any other country. However, it's only one part of a bigger debt issue within Kenya. So they have $6 billion outstanding to China, but they have almost $70 billion debt in total, including to multilateral lenders, different banks across Africa, the IMF, the World Bank, and other Chinese banks as well. So it's like a combination of all these problems that have in some ways tied Ruto's hands a little bit in how he can maneuver within the domestic environment because of this debt burden that sits on the country, which is sitting around, I think, 67% of GDP. So as you can see, it's a huge problem.
We'll come to the solution of debt, which is growth, of course. But I first want to stop off at this Africa Climate Summit. You arrived afterwards and you heard the talk of it. Nigeria and South Africa did not attend. Why? You reason it had to do with the fact that Nigeria is a light sweet crude exporter. Good heavens, Europe depends upon it. So does the globe for the energy out of Nigeria. South Africa is dominated by coal-fired plants. At the same time, Kenya is not exempt from all of these climate policies. Are they green at a time of growth? Green is extremely expensive. Can Kenya do that?
Yes, yeah, so it is much, much greener than those two countries. So I think traditionally dealing with African continent, the West deals with either Nigeria or South Africa, the population capital in Nigeria, the economic capital in South Africa. But as you said, both of them have issues. First of all, South Africa also has a huge reliance on coal power plant, whereas we compare that to Kenya's energy makeup, they're actually around 85% renewable already. So they're starting from a base where they're well ahead of the game. And Ruto is a bit of a statesman. Especially at the climate summit, he was talked very, very highly of. He promoted African solutions for African problems, but also tried to say that they shouldn't be blaming Western countries for their existing issues. And so I think if you look at them being already so green, they've got 40% geothermal, 26% hydro, 16% wind. So if you look at this makeup, they're in a very good position to move forward and continue expand their energy infrastructure and maintaining a very green system. So a lot of the problems with electrification in Kenya are rural, if you look into the rural areas, and those can be fixed and can be addressed and have been in other African countries and in Kenya with small-scale solar farms and things like this to maintain that really high percentage of green energy within Kenya. And then the flow-on effect of that is it becomes a really good example and model to the West about an African country that is providing electricity and also doing it in a green way.
What can go wrong and why? Somalia is in turmoil to the point that I'm told Al-Shabaab, an Al-Qaeda-related terrorist outfit, but really operates as a private army, is on the eve of taking over Somalia. The African Union soldiers, I believe, have departed or are about to. That means that Kenya is at risk, and I haven't kept up. Is there Al-Shabaab threat along the Kenyan border? Does Kenya still have those large refugee camps I can remember?
It does still have ongoing issues with the threat of Al-Shabaab, especially in the north there along the border regions. They have, as you said, the refugees. They also had closed the border for a long time. Shabaab are still posing it quite a great risk, but I don't think they're necessarily imminently going to threaten the Somalian central government, but they're certainly able to take large areas of ground. And as part of this, we've just seen in the last 2 weeks, both the American embassy and the Chinese embassy warn their citizens within Nairobi to be on high alert for the threat of terrorist attacks and things like this at the hands of Al-Shabaab. If we remember back to the Westgate Mall attack, I think it was about 2014, and that was orchestrated by Al-Shabaab. And this is an ongoing threat for the Kenyan security forces, who are well trained and quite proficient, but to be able to continue to fight the Al-Shabaab threat from their northern border.
Now back to the Belt and Road. I told you we'd come back to it. They have a big debt. They have green energy to sell, but they have a threat on the north of Al-Shabaab. The Belt and Road Initiative is understood as not successful. That's generally what's happening around the world. And the recent Belt and Road Forum in Beijing was a disappointment to everyone who was hoping to refinance in some fashion. And I believe Kenya is seeking to refinance what it owes to China. What is built? What is unbuilt? What did Kenya get out of this?
Yeah, so as you say, they looked to refinance some of their existing loans to try and expand the infrastructure already. At the moment, the most prominent and completed part of the Chinese Belt and Road within Kenya is the SGR, the Standard Gauge Railway, which goes from the port at Mombasa through to the capital at Nairobi and then extends some 50, 100 kilometers past there, I believe. But the idea for this SGR was to become a connection, not just from Nairobi to the port, but also to their Western neighbors in Uganda, down to Tanzania, and create an integrated rail network across that whole Eastern African region to be able to increase trade, facilitate easier transport and everything like this. So that is they've finished the first few sections, but the newer sections aren't being able to be built because of the money. And then the other thing that Ruto was there negotiating was an additional $1 billion in funding to finish a few highway projects, which are around Nairobi, which remain almost finished, but not quite finished. And the government doesn't have the money left now to pay the contractors to finish these jobs, which were done under BRI. So these highway projects really need to be finished, but they can't do it without the Chinese financing or alternative financing. But I think Ruto sees it as a Chinese problem to fix because it was brought about under the BRI scheme under his predecessor, Kenyatta.
In other countries that are troubled by the overhang of Belt and Road Initiative debts, I mentioned, for example, a recent election in Ecuador, pointing to the burden of debt from the Korea in era of 2007 to 2017, or Sri Lanka. We could go down the list of countries troubled. There's always the question of missing funds. Is there any question like that in the politics of Kenya?
I think it's not necessarily so much missing funds as in other countries, but a lot of it's like can be misappropriated, overpaying contractors, poor deliverance of the actual infrastructure. So you don't actually get as good a quality as you paid for.
The other story about Belt and Road, before we move on to the solutions, is that China doesn't give up. They don't back off. They keep coming. And though everybody understands these debts are meant to wrap us up into Chinese foreign policy, is that still a problem in Nairobi? Do they talk about the Chinese in the hotels on the streets making loans or looking to involve themselves in Kenya's politics, which is what they do, say, in the Indo-Pacific?
Yeah, I think that there was quite a big anti-Chinese sentiment amongst the general population earlier this year. We saw some of the Chinese marketplaces in Nairobi come under mass protests of people and sort of breaking in and looting of the Chinese marketplaces there. So I think there's this overarching sentiment that's quite unhappy with how they've been treated by the Chinese amongst the population, where they appreciate the fact that the government is now in a lot of debt. I think sometimes they hold Ruto responsible for not doing more domestically when he's been going abroad. But a lot of that is because, as I said before, his hands are tied because so much of the government spending goes into debt servicing and things like this. So it's kind of a bigger problem there that does get linked back to Chinese for sure.
Ronan Wordsworth, recently in Kenya, and we're talking about a state that's looking to be different from all of its neighborhood in the global south. All of it. When we come back, what is to be done? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.